Yo, what is up? You have found We Like the Blazers. I am Brandon Goldner, and with me as record scratch, not with me. Ryan is not here. He has abandoned me. Actually, in full disclosure, we just had scheduling difficulties, but in order to keep the we and We Like the Blazers, I have here the beautiful, the larger than life, the incredible, the second time helping me co-host. It is Cassie Muller. Cassie, what's up?
Hey, Brandon, how's it going?
It's great. Also, just a quick note, Cassie is my wife.
So not biased at all.
Definitely not biased at all. Actually, it's probably somewhat biased against me. It's not in a bad way, but like in a...
Depends on the topic.
That's true. In like a healthy way, in a healthy, like, challenge your partners.
Yeah, sure. Now let's do couples therapy on the podcast.
All right. So first of all, I want to talk to... Ryan can go do his thing and we're here talking basketball. Quickly, I just want to check in with the NBA playoffs. Have a number of intriguing series. We just got word a second ago that Kawhi Leonard is good to go for game two against the Dallas Mavericks, where the Clippers are leading 1-0. But more important, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Damian Lillard-led Milwaukee Bucks, are up 1-0 on the Indiana Pacers. They're playing again tonight. Cassie, I wanted to ask you, like, Damian Lillard, I can't remember exactly what it was, 35 points in the first half, I believe, which is pretty impressive.
I mean, that's okay.
That's okay. I mean,
it's not bad, I suppose.
I mean, how do you feel as someone who, you know, appreciates the Blazers, appreciates Damian Lillard? I would say that you're like, I would say that you have a positive view of Damian Lillard. Is that
fair? How can you not have a positive view of Damian? I mean, he's tremendously talented, obviously, but then also seems like just a really good, honest guy who always shares the glory and shares the praise with people.
Unlike some people I know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you.
Well, sometimes it's all me, and that's okay.
I want to talk about your play on the court in a second, but before we do, how do you feel about Damian Lillard? Like, obviously, I guess, what are we going to say about it? Like, I'm happy that he's winning in the playoffs with the team that brought him there to win in the playoffs. I mean, what more is there to say? I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, we wish him the best.
And hopefully he has enough. Well, actually, I find it unlikely that he'll have another 35 point first half or any half.
I believe in him. You never know.
I actually think what's more important is that the rest of the team played better in the second half, which is what they're going to need in order to weather this Giannis-less storm. Giannis ruled out again today with a calf issue. Quick sidebar. Cassie, you are in fact a doctor. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Giannis Antetokounmpo suffering a calf injury. The mechanics of the injury was non-contact. He just was like running down the court and just sort of crumpled into a ball. The first fear was, oh shit, it's an Achilles, right?
Yep.
MRIs came back. No Achilles, just the calf. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's not your patient. You haven't seen his imaging. Are you at all kind of like, if someone were to present to you with like, hey, I was just like running and all of a sudden my calf went out, would you be at all concerned that like, yeah, like if you come back too quickly or overwork it, that could turn into an Achilles? Like, what's the chain of custody between the tendons and the ligaments and muscles? Like, does that concern you at all that if this dude rushes back, that he could become more seriously hurt? Is that something you'd be concerned about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not, obviously I haven't seen the imaging and I don't know exactly what's wrong with it.
You're giving medical advice. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's what you're hearing is medical advice.
She's not giving medical advice.
I guess I haven't seen exactly where the injury is. And so presumably it's not directly in line with the Achilles tendon. So I don't think, without, you know, caveat that he would, you know, quote unquote, rupture his Achilles if he came back too early. I guess it's possible depending on where the injury is, but it is certainly possible that rushing back too fast would exacerbate the injury, lead to a longer term problems.
And isn't it true that like when we say calf, that like calf is more of a bucket term for like multiple different muscles that kind of run around that area? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, you're great. You're practically a doctor there. There are two muscles that make up the what is colloquially known as the calf. And they connect, or one of them connects via the Achilles tendon to the bones. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. To the bones.
Yep.
To the skeleton.
Yep.
So inside of all of us is a spooky skeleton.
Exactly.
That's terrifying.
I'm glad we're on the same page about this.
As long as I can get a couple of drumsticks and hit my rib cage like a xylophone and make noise, then I'll be okay with that fact.
Have you tried that recently?
Not recently.
Well, you should give it a go.
I need to get out of my skin and just get down to the spooky skeleton of my essence. But that is not why we're here today. I wanted to ask you in this kind of what we're going to maybe keep a brief podcast to talk more holistically about basketball and kind of the state of basketball viewership. So for the record, actually, before we get into that, really quick, you've been on the show before. How long ago? It was like a year ago?
Yeah, it was while we were in New Zealand.
Yeah. So it wasn't actually that long ago. Can you give the listeners a 30 to 45 second bio of yourself and your relation to the sport of basketball, just for the just for the listeners, for the audience?
Yeah, sure. Cassie Mullen, 5'9", point guard, guard. Just kidding. I'm 5'7" and a half.
You'd be listed at 5'9" though.
Yeah, exactly. 5'9" with my shoes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I played basketball my whole life. I played in college. I had a mixed college experience, some ups, some downs, and enjoy playing these days. I'm certainly better than you are, no question.
Which is honestly, like, I just want to say, like, when I was thinking about the ideal partner, I thought about something I could play basketball with. Someone I could play basketball with. Someone I could play basketball with, not someone who would beat my ass mercilessly when we play basketball. Because, of course, I'm taller than you.
Yeah.
I can jump higher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm faster.
True.
But I'm less talented.
Yep.
So talent wins is what you're saying.
Yeah. So I've never been the tallest on the court and I've never been the fastest on the court, even when I play only with women. And if you introduce men into the picture, I'm still not the tallest. I'm still not the fastest. So I hold up pretty well, no matter the gender of my opponents.
So then actually I'm curious about this. Then tell me a little bit about like how you approach, like if you were to play a basketball game nowadays, rec, you know, mixed, men and women, like how do you approach basketball? Like, okay, I'm asking the question because as a point guard, usually you can tell me if I'm wrong, like in order to be like a traditional general type of point guard who like handles the ball and distributes it, you benefit from some structure. And it's harder to get that structure in a rec setting. And I would imagine it might be extra hard for people to like trust you with the ball if you're playing with a bunch of like ego-headed men who are like, well, there's a woman here, right? Like, so how do you approach that? Like you dip into like a rec game and you know how you want to play, you know what your strengths are. So how do you approach that? Like when you're just like playing?
That's a good question. It's hard and it depends on who you're playing with. It's more fun if you're playing with people who you've already built a kind of basketball rapport with. So they know like, oh yeah, Cassie can make that shot. Sure. I'll pass her the ball. And it's harder if you're just joining a random pickup game where your four teammates all want to prove that they're the best person on the court.
Right.
Yeah, if, you know, you're playing with four ball hogs, there's not that much you can do except, you know, try to have humility about it. But if you're playing with the same group of people over and over again, then you, I guess, build that rapport. I think the thing is to be able to size up your teammates and your opponents. Like there's some people who are black holes and you pass them the ball and nobody's ever getting the ball back. And there's other people who might pass it back and, you know, you could have a give and go or a pick and roll or whatever.
That makes sense. And I was brought up as a post player, which is too bad because I stopped growing pretty early, even though I'm, you know, 6'2" is a fine size. Like I was,
I don't think you'd want to be taller in regular life, maybe in basketball, but in regular life.
Right. But the problem is that like in late middle school, high school, I actually did want to like do like the guards drills and get like some of the guard training, like, no, like you should do all the post stuff. And so like the time that I spent the most intense training in basketball when I was younger. And it was like not a lot of guard stuff. So now as an adult, even though I've developed some, you know, guard adjacent skills, I do find myself more comfortable when I play like rebounding and like playing defense and like being a facilitator. Like I'm comfortable doing that. For you as a guard who has guard skills and knows that you can do that, like, do you ever feel like when you step onto the court that you have to kind of show people right away, oh, like I can be trusted with this responsibility? Because again, for me, I'm happy to kind of fade into the background and facilitate or whatever. But like, do you feel any pressure as a basketball player, like stepping onto a court, like, well, shit, like I got to show people that I can like play guard? Or are you happy also fading?
That's a good question. I also,
thank you. These are all great questions for me.
I also, similar to you, I have been as tall as I am since the second grade.
Since birth.
Not quite for my
world's largest baby.
Thankfully for my mother. but I was a massive second grader and like just towered over anyone and then didn't grow and had this awkward period where I was trained as a post and still wanted to play post. But all of a sudden people were taller than I am because 5'7" and a half isn't that tall. It's still the 92nd percentile for women. I'll have you know. Yeah. But, yeah, so awkward transition in middle school, high school, where I had to learn to dribble and handle the ball, which is why I support kids being trained on all skills they need for basketball.
That's, yeah, that's what it is.
Yep. You're totally right that you do kind of have to prove that you're worthy of handling the ball. And I... because more often you can five pickup games with men than women, and I feel... sometimes, particularly in new circles, a little extra pressure to represent my gender, because if I miss that first shot, then people are like, oh, of course she missed. She's a girl. This is why we don't pass it to her. Or like, she can only guard, you know, the slowest man on the court. So there is extra pressure, and sometimes, or, you know, sometimes it gets to you and you don't perform, and then you get extra angry because you're like, ah, like I just had a bad day. It's not me. It's not my gender. It's just sometimes you miss.
How, I'm curious what advice, if there are people out there who maybe are like, not as you have years of training, you have years of experience. And like, I would reckon that you're probably slightly more comfortable on the basketball court than the app. You're much more comfortable playing basketball than the average person. Right. But for people who like, oh, like I want to start playing basketball because it's fun, I enjoy it and I get to move around. Would you have any advice for people who, cause again, that is that weird, there's this like shell game going on in your own head about like, I would like to fit in. I want to show I'm valuable. Do you have any advice for people who do want to start playing pickup games with randos on how to either like get more comfortable doing it, or just any advice you have out there for people who do want to play like more pickup basketball with people that they don't know?
Yeah, I guess a piece of advice would be go more often, because then those randos become...
You mean I have to do the thing?
Yeah, do it.
To get better at it?
Yeah, go more often, do it, because then those randos start becoming... Or like some of them are there every week or whatever, and they're like, oh, you missed that shot, but I've seen you make 10 others, or I can vouch for you. The other piece of advice is... it's kind of fun when nobody has expectations of you, because like the bar is so low that you're like, and then you could also take advantage if the bar is so low. Like, there tend to be three types of men who defend women. There's the type who's going to let you take any shot because you can't block a woman's shot. There's the type who like really wants to block your shot, and they're like chomping at the bit. And then there are like a handful of men who actually like play straight up defense.
Normal people.
Yeah. They tend to be the minority, surprisingly, actually. And if the person you're guarding you isn't guarding you, then you can score on them. And if the person who's guarding you like really wants to block your shot, it's really satisfying, just like a good pump fake. And then men spend so long in the air when they jump. They spend like 5 seconds there to contemplate their poor decisions as you dribble around them. And if they're playing you straight up, then probably they respect you as a player, or maybe they're just terrified of being embarrassed by a woman. But
interesting.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing you saying is tank your game the first game so there's no expectations of you.
Well, no, because then people won't pass you the ball. Lower your expectations for yourself. Don't feel like, you know, if you're a woman or whatever, don't feel like I have to prove myself from the first moment that the ball touches my hands, because that's when you add too much pressure on yourself and things can spiral out of control.
That's totally fair. And a pivot into our second and final topic for today. So as much as you know about basketball, have played basketball, enjoyed basketball, are good at basketball, kick my ass at basketball, you don't really watch basketball. So I wanted to ask you about, I mean, you do sometimes when, especially if I'm watching, but like, you're not one of these people who's like always been super keyed in to basketball games. I think, I don't want to misrepresent your views, but you don't actually super duper enjoy watching other people play basketball generally, right?
That's correct. I don't really enjoy watching basketball
or any sport.
Yeah. Or any sport.
Despite you being like, you're a monster soccer player and like, you don't really like watching soccer, but like, anyway, so, but I did want to ask you about this as someone who's, you know, a more recreational fan, that we have seen a pretty big shift, and I hope that it's permanent and I hope that it keeps going, but a pretty big shift in the public consciousness, in the public sports fans' consciousness of women's basketball specifically. And we've seen with players like Sabrina Ionescu and Asia Wilson and
Caitlin Clark.
I don't know why I was going to say Paige Pierce, who's a female disc golf player, has nothing to do with basketball, but I was like, whoa, like my brain just froze. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, that women's basketball is getting more exposure. It's being played more often in sports bars. People are watching it more often. We saw that several of the women's games during the college tournament outrated the men's NBA finals from last year, which is pretty huge. I mean, more people are watching women's sports. And I'm just curious how it feels to you, again, as someone who's a more recreational sports follower, sports viewer, have you felt that shift as a woman in basketball? And I was debating whether I was gonna be like, hey, as a woman, I want your perspective, but like, seriously, like,
yes,
like,
let me speak on behalf of all women.
Well, because you talked about when you play that you feel this pressure to like, quote unquote, represent your gender, or that you feel that pressure from other people. And so I am curious, like, as someone who's a more recreational fan, like, have you felt this shift? And if so, like, how has it come up that you felt this shift where people are paying more attention to women's basketball or watching it more, are more interested in it? It's more maybe part of the public consciousness. Like, again, for someone who's not in the sports machine and like addicted to Twitter, like people like me, like, how has it been for you to experience that? Or have you experienced that? Is that something you've been picking up on?
I guess in the circles in which I play sports, I haven't noticed a difference. Social circles, talking to people, I have noticed that people are more keyed into women's sports and seem to respect it more and more excited about it. There's less of, it's been years since I've heard someone say like, well, women are just not as athletic, or they're not as talented, or they can't do it. Like, women's sports is boring. I haven't heard anyone say that in a super long time.
It doesn't mean it's not being said, but the fact that you're not picking up on it as often, I think, says something.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I'm very, you know, maybe too sensitive to people making comments. My least favorite thing is if somebody says, for a girl, you're good for a girl. Like, ah.
Yeah.
So I am very happy to see it, hear it, talk about it. I love it. I feel like the younger generation, or I guess the bar has been raised. There's no longer an excuse to say like, oh, I'm good enough at this, I couldn't be better. When, you know, Caitlin Clark is 3-point shooting contests against some pretty spectacular NBA player, I can speak like a native English speaker, which I am.
Yeah. And like, I mean, you're someone who grew up with like, still at your mom's house in your room, there still remains posters on the wall, including Sue Bird from the Seattle Storm. By the way, can we please get a women's basketball team in Portland? Like, WNBA is expanding and Portland is among the cities in contention. Would like to see that. So
that would be super fun. We should do that. I don't know who we got to call or write a letter to, but I feel like in Portland specifically, like the Thorns fans are out of control. So I feel like the market is there. You just got to get some of those Thorns fans on board.
Totally. I mean, there's definitely a market for it. We have the arena where they can play. Like, we used to have a team, like, I think it was called the Portland Fire, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, hopefully I don't get catching the enemies for this. Like, Portland Fire, not a super fan of that branding. Like, I feel like we could be better than that.
Yeah. But especially like Portland was so tree. We have the Timbers, we have the whatever. Yeah.
It's a play Blazers. On the Blazers.
Yeah,
but a trailblazer is like a scraggly person running the Oregon Trail. It's not a fire. So,
I mean, that's not what I...
What about the Portland Wagon Wheels? Let's come up with the new WNBA Portland expansion franchise name right now.
I still think we got to work on the Wagon Wheels. Let's bring it to workshop.
So last question before we both get out of here. But has the change in consciousness of women's sports, does it give you hope for... if and when we have our own small children are genetically similar humans who want to play sports. And let's say that we have, you know, little girls and they want to play sports. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to ask at this. Like, I guess, do you wish, of course you do. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this question. Like, does it make you feel any more hopeful for like kids to just know that people are talking about thinking about watching women's sports more? Is it something you would have appreciated? Obviously the answer is yes. So again, this is not a great question. I'm not a great interviewer, but
no, I think you're doing great. First of all, I always played for the love of the game, so it didn't really matter if people didn't watch. I enjoyed playing.
Cassie famously rejected a $3 million annual contract because he loved the game too much.
That's exactly how much they offer women to play sports still. Oh my gosh. But second, it does give me more hope, more optimism. A classic debate that you and I have had before is, you know, when our offspring are obviously talented enough to play in the NBA or WNBA, should they complete college before, or rather than doing just 1 year of college? And a factor in that discussion is the earning potential of our offspring and our...
Would you care to share with the listeners where we stand on this issue? Because I don't think our positions have changed too much.
I have opened my mind a little bit.
Oh, have you?
Okay. Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Two episodes
in a row that someone says Brandon is right.
I didn't say Brandon is right.
I'm going to clip that so you just hear that
Brandon is right
coming out of your mouth, and that's what leads the episode.
That's
and
perfect.
And it repeats and it echoes.
Brandon is right.
Brandon is right.
I'm sure the listeners will love that.
It'll be 30 minutes of that.
Perfect. I feel like college is a really transformative, unique time in one's life. And I think even going back to college when you're in your late 20s, you don't build the same social connections. You don't develop in the same way. And I think that there are a lot of players in the end.
That felt personal.
Yes. Suck it.
Because I went to college late.
Well,
thank you very much. And I think I turned out fine.
You turned out great. But do you have the lasting college friendships that I have?
No, I don't. And to be completely honest with you, I did. Like, when I went to college, I was in my late-ish 20s. And I felt a little kind of disconnected from all the... Part of that is that I have a healthy splash of social anxiety. I'm not sure how, like, in the college scene I would have been had I even been the same age as people. But yeah, like, I agree with you. Like, it did feel a little disconnecting. I will say, quick sidebar, I drove down to Corvallis today, hung out with my brother. We went to Dixon Recreation Center on Oregon State University's campus. The people in that recreation center, they are children. And I am so terrified because it was not that long ago that was me walking those hallowed halls, the ivy-covered buildings with the students in the backpacks. And oh my God.
Yeah, college kids are getting younger. Same with high school kids. I'm not getting older. Other people are just getting younger.
I like, that's like a cliche that people have said before, like as they get older, like, oh, it's like, but today I was like, holy crap. And then it quickly faded and like, oh, what a cool facility for people to go work out. Anyway.
So continuing my argument, there's players like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't follow the NBA that closely, but I feel like CJ McCollum went to 4 years of university, Damian maybe. Yeah. Like, and I think you can't as much as you want to play basketball forever. And so having a journalism degree or communications or whatever, like, I feel like CJ, for example, is taking really good advantage of marketing. And I feel like he's going to be set up for life. And his college experience helped with that. Also, he's like a good person who has whatever. So I feel like there are benefits to going to college.
I don't think that there aren't benefits to going to college. And so my argument has been like, let him go make that bread. We don't know, right? Like, you have no idea how long you're going to be able to play a professional sport. So if you get the opportunity to play a professional sport, in my opinion, you should do that, because you're sort of, you're time limited because of factors of biology that I would think a medical doctor would understand more than most. I think that your brain is more pliable, flexible, able to learn things, more so than your body's able to like dunk a basketball like into your late 20s, 30s, 40s. And so like, that's my point, has been like, hey, yo, if the opportunity is there, like it may not be there next year in college, will still be there. You can be like Brandon and be the weird, the awkward older guy who graduated with honors. Thank you very much. And has had successful career. But like, so that's where we stand on that.
So what you're saying is you're prioritizing money over emotional and developmental growth.
I'm prioritizing the ability to do something which is so rare, it is so fleeting, that you should do that thing, whether it's going to the NBA or doing something else. Like, if you get the opportunity to do something really special, I think you should do it. I do value college education. I do think it's important. I don't think college is for everybody. I think that we have people
who... Oh, definitely. College isn't for everyone.
And it's fine. Like, I think we need to be more supportive of like trade schools and alternative routes of people finding careers that don't include college. But yeah, like, I'm with you. The college experience was important for me. And maybe I didn't get as much out of it because I was a different age. And that's just reality. So I'm with you on that.
And I think, I think there should be more good paying jobs for people who don't have college degrees in general.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Okay.
We didn't get back to the original question or the original thought, which was
how we do, though. It just meanders like a river.
Totally. With the increasing spotlight on women's sports, there is the hope that our daughter would be able to play in the WNBA, or we'd be able to have this discussion and it wouldn't be like, oh, our son in the NBA will make like millions of dollars and our daughter in the WNBA would make like $60,000.
Right. And I do think that's a really, really good point. First of all, Zora is offended that you don't think she can make the WNBA.
Yeah. Our cat, who spends all day sleeping in bed.
She could still do it. Okay. Second of all, no, I'm totally with you. And my hope is for specifically when you look at the fact that people really enjoy watching women's sports, who would have thunk it? Like Ryan and I talked about this, like, our media landscape has done a terrible job of promoting women's sports. And how do we know they've done a terrible job of it? Because when they finally do a halfway decent job of it, it outperforms men's sports. No shit. So like, I mean, the fact that people are watching it means that what? There's advertising opportunities, which means that people can make money off of it, which means that the earning potential, we should hopefully see that. I mean, it's already been closing, but it should be closing faster. And to your point, yes, our son or daughter should hopefully, by the time they're ready to be the GOAT, they will be able to earn a similar amount of money, whether they're a man or a woman or whatever gender they identify with. So with that, is there anything else that you want to make sure that we hit on before we adjourn?
Oh, I just want to say that we're not there yet. Like, Caitlin Clark's starting salary is less than I made as an intern. It's like $75,000 or something. And you know, she has a
less than that.
Yeah. It's not much. But she has endorsement deals from Nike and she'll be fine. It's not like, you know, Michael Jordan fine, but
to your point, like the vet minimum in the NBA, the least amount of money that you can make as a veteran is something like, I think it's like $2.8 million a year.
Yeah.
Right. And so the floor for men's sports is so much higher than for women's. Cause like, if you weren't a Caitlin Clark, if you were just, you know, the number seven pick in the WNBA draft, like you're not going to get those endorsements. Totally. And so you don't have that financial security, which is why we've seen like, you know, women who have been forced to play overseas because they will pay them more than the US. And then like,
then they get stuck in Russia for,
they get stuck in Russia. And that's it. So anyway, we don't want that. We want to keep like, especially like, this is a different conversation for another day, but like, as we have seen international basketball talent becoming the equal to, and perhaps in some ways surpassing American basketball talent, I think, I think it's really important. And by the way, I think that's a good thing, but I think it's important that we, to the extent that we can, provide people who are born in America the opportunity to do the thing that they like in the country in which they were born. No duh. And whether you're a man or a woman, that should be true. So with that, is there anything else that you want to hit on before we skedaddle?
I mean, I could talk for hours, but I think it's better to just leave it.
Let it go.
Let it go.
We're going to let it go. And if you want to let go of your inhibitions and follow We Like the Blazers, you can always do that at weliketheblazers.com. You can also find us on Twitter at Like the Blazers. You can find me at GoldenerPDX. You're not going to find Cassie anywhere on social media. Good luck.
Don't forget to like hit the like button and subscribe. You say that, don't you?
You say it, but the problem is that we're not currently uploading to YouTube, so there is no like button.
Well, metaphorically hit that like button.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we appreciate all of you. So I'm Brandon.
I'm Cassie.
And until next time, go Blazers. Woo!